Hello and welcome back to the TLDR News Podcast. I'm Jack and I'm joined this week by Ben Blissett.
Hello.
And Rory Taylor.
Hello.
How are you both doing?
I'm doing excellently.
Good. Yeah,
it's been good. It's been a good
It's been a week
good
since
week
we
for
were
news.
Last here. When we last spoke, we were discussing the local elections and we were making various predictions about the local elections.
It was a great episode. It went really well.
It weirdly did, considering it was a shit episode. It went down surprisingly well.
Yeah.
But we promised in that episode that we would come back and we would assess the predictions and discuss who did better, Rory or Ben, in their predictions. So we're going to run through the results. We're going to talk about what happened in the local elections. And throughout that, we're going to unpick who scored what and who got what right. So, shall we start with the overall result? You both guessed how many seats you expected the Tories to lose. What were your predictions and then what was the result?
So I predicted 300, they'd retain 300 seats. They were contesting 1,000, so retain 300. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll do the maths for you there. I think they were going to lose about 700.
And Rory?
I guess they would lose 400 to 500.
And the actual result?
Yeah. They actually lost 474.
Yeah.
It's a little bit nonsense that you allowed yourself a radius.
Yeah.
But even still, if you'd picked 4 or 500, even if you hadn't had the range, you would have still been closer. So point to Rory on that
one.
Thank you.
Well done.
What was the actual story on the ground there? What happened? Obviously, 474 is a better result than Ben expected, about where Rory expected. What happened?
They lost a lot of seats all over the place, really. They lost to, Labour primarily, also Lib Dems and Green. Mm-hmm. And they lost control of, they lost control of 10 councils, mm-hmm. which was a pretty big deal as well. It's this kind of story we've been preparing ourselves for going to general election of the Tories losing ground in, you know, right across the country to different parties, and that's sort of what played out.
Yeah, and if you were on Twitter that day, you'll know that what we now know is going to happen in a general election is that the Labour are not going to have a majority, and there's going to be tons of independents elected as a result, because obviously a really good way of telling how a general election is going to go is extrapolating from local election data.
Sense a tone in
we need like a
no, no, not at all.
No,
I'm being totally, totally serious.
So they lost a number of seats to a variety of parties.
And
no parties. Which parties performed particularly well, and was there like a geographic split of where they made these losses and who they lost to?
So the Lib Dems did really well. They actually became, based on the seats up for contention, they were the second largest in terms of the number of councillors won.
Yeah.
Which sort of follows a trend for the Lib Dems over the last few years of gaining tons and tons of council seats. Greens also did particularly well. Yeah. There's this graph that they like showing around on Twitter of the number of councillors won over a certain number of years, and it's sort of like, you know,
it's almost exponential.
Looks. Which is pretty impressive from them. But I mean, you know, again, I was being sarcastic before, just for the record. But they, you know, it's important to remember that these are local elections. Smaller parties are going to do well here. I think Reform UK was an interesting one.
They won two seats.
Two.
Out of 1,000.
I mean, they didn't really stand that many candidates. So they sort of weren't, they didn't have the opportunity to win that many seats. But two is still quite remarkably low, I think.
It's not many.
Especially when so
more
much...
More than
of the,
one.
Yeah, yeah. But especially when the conversation around the general election is so much like, how much damage can Reform do to the Tories? For them to just completely flop in the locals is quite something. I think the George Galloway's Workers' Party got four. You know, that's double the number that Reform got. They really didn't do that well.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably, the Tories might look at that and think, great, Reform isn't as much of a threat as we thought, but equally, is that just because they didn't stand many candidates?
That's it just sort of annoys me that just because people went and voted that we can in some way extrapolate to a general election, it's so, the sort of like thought process of how to vote in these elections is just so hugely different to a general election. You know, in a lot of these, you can vote for a smaller party and actually get a councillor in. So you're more incentivized to vote for smaller parties, which is why parties like the Lib Dems do really well. It's why the Greens do really well. But like that psychology of how you vote doesn't exist in a general election. You know, unless you're in like Brighton Pavilion, the likelihood of you like your green vote being worthwhile mm-hmm. is quite low, and I think people know that. So they tend to, you know, they'd probably vote Labour in that situation. So the assumption that we can take too much from these local elections just isn't true, and it's sort of frustrating on when the results come in, people trying to extrapolate too much. It is true that you can probably use them as a very sort of small indicator of how the major parties are doing, how the Tories and how Labour are doing. But even then, it's sort of like what you can take from that is still quite limited. Local elections are often used as like a protest vote against the government. So even if a government is doing relatively okay, you know, they can still, they would generally underperform at a local elections anyway. So I'm always a little bit sceptical as to how much you can take from these. And it was particularly frustrating last week with the amount of people. And this is why I was sort of mocking this idea of like the people coming up with like general election predictions based on the local council results. It's just nonsense.
Obviously, we've talked about the Greens doing pretty well, Conservatives in third place, Lib Dems in second place. We haven't really talked about Labour. They picked up the most new council seats. How was their performance on last Thursday?
Yeah, they picked up 186 council seats, taking them a fair amount above 1,000. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good. You know, they were obviously very happy. There is this sort of sub-story of places where their vote was weaker and the Greens were stronger. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is sort of related to the kind of Gaza protest vote, yeah. to the people unhappy with Labour's position on Gaza and Israel, which I think is an interesting dynamic. I don't think like Labour strategists will necessarily be like losing sleep over it, but you know, it's not all of these things have to be looked at strategically. You know, there's other factors to it. But yeah, I think Labour overall, they seem pretty happy.
The overall picture is very positive for Labour, and I agree that they don't need to be too worried about the Gaza thing, but I think it's just showing, because they lost, was it Oldham Council they lost control of? So they lost control of Oldham Council, and it was widely understood that that was because of their approach to the issue of Gaza. And I don't think that this is going to cause too much of a problem for them in the general election. I think that they're still probably on track to win quite a large majority, but it is just something they do need to keep aware of, that this issue can turn voters off them, and there is a general election campaign coming up, mm-hmm. and undoubtedly, you know, other parties will be looking at this and realising that this is a way that you can take votes off Labour, yeah. and I think that they will try and exploit this. Mm-hmm. So I think they just need to be a little bit wary of this as a policy area, and they need to sort of like keep on top of that if they do want to win this next election, you know, if they do want all of this, you know, prediction they're going to win this massive majority to come to pass. I just think they need to keep on top of that. But as I say, it's just a thing to keep at the back of their minds. But I think
it's quite interesting in that it shows that even before what we assume is going to be some form of Labour landslide, that there is like a sort of left to the left of Labour that is already sort of established and ready to like take on Labour from the left. And I wasn't around in 1997, but from what I understand, when Tony Blair was sort of riding that wave of popularity into office, Labour and the sort of left of centre, the entire left of centre mostly, were pretty united in that sense. Obviously, it split quite a lot after he came into power and, you know, did all of the things he did. But it feels like now Labour are going into government or preparing to go into government with that sort of anti-Labour left already established and sort of working to try and push them further left. So I think it's quite an interesting dynamic.
I also think it's quite easy in opposition to keep your block together, because there is one thing that sort of unites you more than anything else, is that you want the Tories out. So even if you do have disagreements over Gaza, you can sort of keep that minimal. But when you go into office, that changes quite quickly. And I think that at the minute we see the Tories are the really, really divided party, and governing is only tearing them apart a bit. And I think that the local elections have just shown this sort of like this issue, as you say, this issue is there. It does divide Labour, and those to the left of centre, you know, are frustrated by Starmer's approach on it. And I think that this could be the first sort of sign we have of that. And I think that when they do, if they do end up winning this next election and they do end up forming a government, you can see the left, you know, MPs on the left of centre.
You can see where those splits are going to come. Yeah.
Returning to predictions, Rory, you predicted speaking of Labour in particular, that Labour would get the most seats, but Green would do the best proportionally, which turned out to be true.
I think that's true, if my maths is correct. But that, yeah, so Labour picked up 186, Greens picked up 74, but that was off a baseline of just over 100. So they you know, proportionally did pretty well. But yeah, you know, I suppose it's, well, I was going to say it's probably easier to do better proportionally if they're starting from a lower base point, but I don't want to take away from their achievements there. But yeah, so I think that was,
that's the point.
That's true.
Ben, do you have an equivalent prediction?
I just sort of nodded along when Rory said that, so I'm just
going to give yourself
well versed.
Next up, it wasn't obviously the local elections. That wasn't all of what was happening last Thursday. Probably most notable, maybe, is what was happening in Blackpool South. There was a by-election there to elect a new MP. Rory, you predicted?
Labour would win.
Ben?
Oh, I think I said it. Definitely Labour are going to win the vote. Way bigger majorities, yeah.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, you said it so insincerely.
I did. Great. You can check the footage. Check the tapes.
Roll back the tapes. By-election, who's winning?
I think Labour.
Confidently?
Yeah, but I mean, they've overturned far larger majorities than this in the last couple of years.
So that is what happened.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about anything there? Is there anything particularly notable from Blackpool?
No, I'm just great at predicting things, it seems.
Okay, great.
It was they had a very small majority to overturn. They did overturn it. I don't know the exact, was it about 7,000-8,000 majority they gained themselves somewhere around?
I don't actually know, but it was
a pretty reasonably sized one. Yeah. It wasn't the most tricky one to win. I think most people thought that Labour were going to win this quite decisively. As I say, it was a very small majority they were overturning. I think it was about 3,000. Last year, they overturned a majority of nearly 25,000 in Mid-Bedfordshire. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wasn't a particularly controversial take for me to make last week that I thought Labour were going to win. Yeah. It's understandable why Rory nodded along to that as well. They did that. And we've got the new Labour MP was in today, actually, in Prime Minister's Questions. So
not the only new MP, Labour MP in...
No, oh God, yeah. As it turns
Didn't
out,
that one,
no.
Did we?
Yeah.
I think you've made a point for not predicting that.
Yeah. Do we want to explain this? Or we just really euphemistically refer to it?
MP for Dover, Natalie Elphick, defected from the Conservatives today to Labour in a massive shock to seemingly everyone, because she is pretty right-wing. She's not like a centrist Conservative who you can sort of imagine the journey. She is like...
Stop the boats.
Yeah, stop the boats. Labour want open borders. So, yeah, it's really quite... I don't really have much to say. It's just genuinely surprising. There's a lot of reactions on Twitter from Conservatives basically saying... they didn't think there was any room to the right of Natalie Elphick.
And a few Labour MPs as well saying there's a lot of like Tory colleagues I would welcome over to these benches, but Natalie Elphick is not one. Yeah. I think it's also interesting based on her background. I mean, she's got, I'm trying to figure out how to explain this, quite an unsavoury sort of past in how she came to acquire her seat and her actions...
Yeah.
Surrounding that. Trying to choose my language very carefully here. But
in the sort of very brief summary that I hope is fair is that her husband was Charlie Elphick was the MP for Dover before she became MP, and he, I think, got convicted for some form of sexual assault. Yes. I'm not sure the details.
And he went to prison.
Yeah. And she, I think they are separated now, but she ended up becoming the MP. But she... she defended him quite publicly and also was suspended from the House of Commons because she tried to, I think, unduly influence the judge that was dealing with his appeal, which is...
Not a good... No.
Yeah. So it's quite surprising that A, she chose to go to Labour and that B, Labour accepted her, I think.
It's an interesting thing as well when there were members on the left of the Labour Party that claim that they don't feel terribly welcome, and there's some left, you know, Diane Abbott and Jeremy Corbyn currently are not Labour MPs and have been suspended, but Natalie Elphick
is celebrated as new Labour MP.
So we're in a particularly odd situation with that. But yes, that was a
It'll be interesting
note.
To see if there is like a proper sort of uprising isn't the right word, but if Labour MPs do speak out against this,
yeah.
Of the defections, she's the most, we've seen some Tory to Labour defections in the last few years, but she is by far the most surprising and by far the most controversial.
Let's return to last Thursday. We obviously had a bunch of mayoral races that we made predictions on. Let's start with Andy Street. How did that play out and what were your predictions first?
Well, I predicted that he'd win.
Okay.
I was wrong.
I predicted that he would lose narrowly. And he did lose narrowly.
Double points? Yeah. Are you going for doubles?
No, I think let's take a single point for that.
Okay.
Lose narrowly. There was a Labour majority of 0.3 percentage points.
Very
we had to
close.
Recount. It was very, very close. This is in the West Midlands.
Yeah.
So Conservative incumbent very narrowly lost to Labour, which was a bit of a blow to the Tories.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also Andy Street was someone that was hoping his personality would outshine and his popularity would outshine.
The Tory brand.
It almost did.
Almost. I mean, it did better than kind of national polling. So I guess congrats on that. But more congratulations to, of course, Mr. Taylor on your prediction.
Oh, thank you.
Not the guy that won, just the guy that predicted.
Oh, is that also what he was called?
No.
I thought you were heading into
that's
it.
That's what I thought as well.
That would be a crazy coincidence if you also had a surname of Taylor.
Yeah.
Next up, Ben Houchen. What were your predictions?
I said win.
Yeah, so
I think
did I.
You did as well, yeah.
And he did win.
And he
did
win. Each.
Yeah.
What happened there?
1 point each.
Oh, yeah. 2 points total.
He won, but there was, I think, I've written down there was a 17% swing to Labour, which, Tories were celebrating that he won, but that swing, I think, is enough, if repeated in the general election, big if, to basically wipe out all the Conservative seats in that region.
Wow.
So it was a good result for them, but if you actually look at the details,
they retain that mayor, but the numbers aren't in their favour, certainly. Yeah. Another Tory mayor, Ben Bradley in East Midlands.
This was the guy, if you remember, he was the guy going for the triple.
Yes.
He's currently
he
the MP and lead council.
Of course he was.
Head of the
did
council.
He do the trip?
He didn't. Oh. He didn't make it.
Yeah. I don't think I made a prediction on this. I watched back and I don't think I made a prediction.
Did you nod along with Rory's correct answer?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, maybe. Can I just say, that is not what I've done throughout all of that. I know that you're trying to establish that I did a trend of just jumping and piggybacking on Rory's thing, but that is just not true. Check the tapes.
Rory, do you want to tell us about your very accurate prediction? What actually ended up happening?
He just didn't win. Labour won that one. It's a new mayoralty. I don't know. I don't have much more to say about that. He just didn't win it. Labour won it.
He's
I don't think it wasn't one
it.
That like he was. Again, I don't think this was a particularly bold prediction for me.
The last mayor we made predictions around, obviously, was Sadiq Khan.
Yeah.
Did we not make predictions about Andy Burnham? I guess it was so obvious.
No.
Sadiq Khan, you predicted that he would.
Well, I predicted that he'd win, and then Rory piggybacked on me and said that he'd win as well. So.
Yeah.
And you were both.
But we actually put predictions for the percentages.
Oh, okay. And on this, what were your numbers?
So I said he would win with 49%.
Ben?
I said 45% here.
So
the big reveal.
Sadiq Khan did win.
We know
reveal,
the results.
Spoilers.
Yeah, this isn't a shock.
Sadiq Khan did win, so that's a point each.
Yeah.
What was the percentage victory, Ben?
It was 43.8%.
Which is a Ben win.
It's a big Ben win.
It's a big
Ben
win.
Yeah, exactly. So... I just wish I'd put a bet on.
Yeah,
now.
We didn't give into all this ridiculous rumour that he might actually
lose.
Let's
not check Slack messages, but yes, at least publicly I didn't buy into any of these rumours.
So what did happen?
So on Friday night, so they started, so the vote was on Thursday and they were waiting, they didn't count any votes until Saturday. And on Friday night, there was some data revealed about turnout figures for the London mayoral election in different wards. And there was some wobbles from some people suggesting that the turnout in Tory areas were a little bit up, and in Labour areas it was a little bit down. And people were trying to argue that perhaps Susan Hall has done it. Maybe the turnout is actually going to work very much in her favour. And there were some suggestions that, despite the prevailing wisdom at the time being that Sadiq Khan would win quite easily, that actually Susan Hall might win. Mm. And I might have sent a couple of panicked late night messages to the Slack group saying, oh no, maybe my script is wrong here. And then obviously it was all fine. I was, everything I wrote was correct.
He ended up winning.
So I just need to not doubt myself.
I think he won with a bigger margin of victory than any Labour mayor, any London mayor has.
And as he said in his victory speech, you know, it was very impressive that he'd beaten for three consecutive times Count Binface.
That is true. You see his viable candidate.
Do you see his green suit?
I did see his green suit.
No, Sadiq.
Oh, yes.
Really nice, like, green linen. And there's a couple of people saying that they bought the suit.
And he's ruined it for them now.
Whenever they go to events this summer now, they're going to think that there's some big Sadiq family.
Yeah.
Maybe they are. Maybe they should be. London apparently kind of is. A little
bit. Yeah.
More than we thought.
Turns out we want more ULEZ, more cycle lanes, more all this
more
stuff that we were told
suits.
That we didn't want.
Yeah, exactly.
The final prediction.
He looks good in the green suit, by the way.
Yeah. You didn't predict that.
No, I didn't. I didn't. If I was asked, I would have said I thought he'd really suit a green suit. I think everyone would suit a green suit.
Next week, next time we're doing predictions on something, we're just going to predict every different suit colour he could wear and whether he'll look good in it or not.
Yeah.
But green's a good one.
Yeah.
Unpredictable.
You haven't seen the picture?
No, I haven't seen the picture.
You have no idea.
Next up, and finally, we were talking last week about the potential of Sunak being ousted. That didn't happen. I think you both said it wouldn't.
Yeah, I didn't even have this down. Yeah, I'm certain I said it wouldn't happen, though.
And
he still
didn't.
As of 2:45 today, he's still in office.
I don't think we need the timestamp. Yeah. I think he's okay a little bit longer. So those are the results. I'm not sure if they're on screen. They could be. That'd be fun. They're on screen. Rory, 8 points. Ben, 7 points.
Oh,
very close. Shout out for Rory on the fact that,
maybe I should have given myself an egg. Oh, wait. Oh, no, don't worry.
No, you're okay.
Yeah,
shout out to Rory that you got every prediction right. Your only wrong guess was the percentage for mayor.
Yeah.
Besides that, every direction was correct. Admittedly, Ben only had one incorrect direction and the better prediction for mayor. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, but good guesses, I'd say. I'm pretty happy with those.
Yeah, after this, I'm going to get Rory to go on my Ladbrokes account and put some predictions in for the general election, I think.
Tory landslide.
I better get some good odds on that, actually.
Speaking of the general election.
I was going to say, speaking of Ladbrokes, have we got a new sponsor?
No, we don't. We're open. We're not. No gambling. Speaking of the general election.
Let's get this podcast demonetized.
No. Speaking of the general election.
Yes.
We are a little way off, obviously. But
we don't know that.
We don't know that. But our plan is that we've got a number of other things we're working on kind of in relation to elections and all kinds of things at the moment that mean actually making this podcast every week is quite a lot of additional effort that we really ought to distribute elsewhere. So our plan is that we're putting the podcast on temporary hiatus through to the general election campaign, at which point we'll reassess if we're able to do the podcast again and we'll kind of make a bunch of decisions and let you know. But for the moment, this is the last episode of the TLDR podcast until the general election, and then we'll bring it back maybe to talk about the Tory landslide that Rory is obviously predicting at this stage.
And my massive wins.
Can we have a sarcasm thing on that again? Because I definitely am not predicting that. I don't want that on the record.
What if everyone places bets and loses money because of you?
Yeah.
And he'll come and blame you.
Although, how great would it look if everyone else was wrong? Yeah. And there was a Tory landslide.
That's true,
and you were the only one that said that correctly predicted, you know? Yeah. You can be that mad scientist in an apocalypse film, you know, the one that everyone thought was crazy and actually they were cooking.
Yeah. We'll find out. We'll be back at some point. We could be back next week. Who knows? We could
be
back.
January
2025. I think, you know, we've been really...
Last prediction.
Oh,
when will the election be, and therefore when will we be back?
The election is going to be in November.
So we'll be back
in September. Yeah, September.
Rory? Don't agree,
well, now
please.
I'm just like nodding along with Ben.
Just like all of these as well.
Yeah. I think it's going to be January.
Yeah. So we'll be back in November.
And then we'll take the time off for Christmas. Then we'll be back in
we'll
January
barely
afterwards.
Be back.
Yeah.
A January Tory landslide. That is.
Yeah. People are going to really appreciate that we get to campaign over.
I think as well, you know,
Christmas.
We've been really consistent with this podcast over the last year and its sort of format and where it is and everything, you know. It's not like we've changed what we're going to be doing every 2 weeks.
No.
So everyone can trust that this is a definite decision.
Yes. We'll be back next week for the next episode of the TLDR News podcast. And if not, we'll see you on the TLDR UK channel and across the TLDR network. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you in September.
Plug our Twitter handles here.
Oh, really?
While we can.
Did that desperate?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want more predictions like this.
Well, predictions like that really sort of like sensible one of a Tory landslide in 2025.
Oh well. That's it. Thanks.
Yeah. God, what an end to an era.
And a very short gap between this era and the next.
Potentially.
Very much hope
it's a short gap.
There was quite a few comments last week saying don't kill the podcast, and I laughed them off thinking we're not going to do that. And then the next week we do.
How did they know?
Well, I don't think they did. They just liked it.
Yeah. They thought it was...
Yeah.
Oh, I like the theories.
The network cancelled us. Yeah.